The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Luke's Gospel once again, Luke chapter 2, as we continue a journey with Jesus today. Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse number 8 and read over through verse number 20, Luke chapter 2. And if you have not registered with Journey with Jesus, I want you to visit lancasterbaptist.org and click on Journey with Jesus and register, and you'll receive a weekly update with questions about our messages and just a way to keep you involved in Bible study throughout the week, and also a repository of many different Bible study tools and maps and different things to help you understand Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, in 2013 at Lancaster Baptist Church, we're going to get to know the ministry and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as never before. So don't miss one of these Sundays. Plan to be a part of this every step of the way. Let's all stand together, shall we, as we turn to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading in just a moment in verse number 8. I've entitled the message, Who is Jesus? And we're going to examine that question today. Who is Jesus? And by the way, let me encourage you, as you're out shopping this week, be careful, have a good testimony. Watch out for the stresses of the season. I heard of a lady who said to her husband as she was trying on a new dress, she said, sweetheart, do I look fat in this dress? He looked at her and said, sweetheart, do I look stupid in this shirt? And those married men know exactly what I'm talking about. So just be careful of some of those traps you can walk right into like that. And make sure that you're very careful and wise in all of your doings this week. Luke chapter 2. Hope everyone has a seat, a Bible, a notepad. And if you don't have your Bible, you'll find the scriptures right in the bulletin there for you. So follow with me as I read verse number 8. And as we prepare to preach this message, Who is Jesus? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told of them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for your infallible word to us today. We thank you for the wonderful message that we hear even the angels proclaiming. Help us this morning to learn more about you, to learn who Jesus really is, and to worship you accordingly, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Back in 2010, Larry King was interviewing Donald Trump, and Larry King was getting ready to retire. He was doing a series of interviews of famous people, and at the end of the interview, Donald Trump said, Larry, if you could interview one man, and if you could ask him anything you wanted to ask, who would that be? Larry King, without hesitation, looked at Donald Trump, and he said, I would like to interview Jesus Christ, and I would like to ask him if he was truly born of a virgin. Well, for the answer to that question this morning, we're going to turn our attention to the hillsides around Bethlehem. And we're going to announce this morning for Larry King or for anyone who would listen that God has answered the question that Jesus Christ is his son, virgin born. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross for our sin and rose again the third day for our justification. This morning, when you look at verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Here we see the countryside around Bethlehem. We're reminded that Bethlehem was just a few miles south, and still is today, just a few miles south of Jerusalem, a hilly country, a country that was agriculture in nature and still is to this day. A few years ago when I was in the Holy Land, I snapped some of the shots of the terraced hillsides as well as some of the sheep areas not far from Bethlehem in what is called the Valley of Elah, where David killed Goliath. These are not myths or fairy tales. These are factual, historical occurrences that took place. And so it was in a shepherding area where Jesus Christ was born. And we learn from the Word of God that it was this obscure corner of the world where God chose to announce and to bring His Son into the world. The angel's announcement, however, that we read a moment ago is far more than just exciting news. It's far more than just an historical account. It is, in fact, a life-changing truth for all who open their heart and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I draw to your attention our text, which is found in verse number 11. And I want you to see what the Bible says there. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, I want you to lift your voices with me this morning and read that verse number 11, if you would. That's going to be our focal point today. Luke 2:11. It's in your notes. It's in your Bible. And so let's read it together. Ready, begin. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." All right, let's read it again one more time. Lift up your voices together. Ready, begin. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a..." Which is... So who is Jesus? That's the question that Larry King asked, and that's the question that many seem to ask even to this day. Who is Jesus? And He is given to us in this announcement. God has given to us an announcement. The angel of the Lord is giving it. The angelic host, perhaps tens of thousands of angels, are crying out to us and telling us this morning who Jesus is. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. And so I want you to notice with me, first of all, that Jesus is the Savior. The Bible says in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And the Savior is a deliverer. He is the preserver. He is the one who delivers us from our sin. He is the one who keeps us in relationship with God. I could not do that on my own. You cannot do that on your own. There is only one who could accomplish such deliverance, and that is Jesus Christ, the Savior. Dwight Pentecost, in his works, The Words and Works of Jesus Christ, wrote, "The angel called Him a Savior. A Savior, as Savior, He would deliver people from bondage and sin. This Savior was none other than Christ the Lord." Now, let me say briefly this morning that every one of us here need a Savior. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." None of us can save ourselves. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We could try to clean up our own lives, but it's like trying to wash a car with an oily rag. You never can quite get it done, because we ourselves need the forgiveness that can only come through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, I saw a little cartoon of Dennis the Menace, and he was snuggled up on Santa Claus' lap, and he was speaking into that bespectacled, bearded face, and he looked at Santa Claus and he said, "Now, I'm working on being good. Can you give me just a couple more weeks of time, please?" And how many of you have lived long enough to know that it takes more than just a couple more weeks, and that none of us are going to ever be good enough to stand before God on our own? We all fall short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. And so it is because of His incarnation, because God became man and dwelt among us, because of this miracle we celebrate at Christmas, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, was able to go to the cross and shed His blood for our sin and become the payment for sin, the Savior of the world. We learned about it last week in 1 Timothy 3:16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." You see, God took the form of man and was manifest in the flesh in Bethlehem's manger more than 2,000 thousand years ago as our Savior. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, "For He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus Christ knew no sin, but He took your sin and mine. Every lie, every thought, every wicked deed that we would ever commit or ever will commit was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And there, as the Savior of the world, He died with our sin upon Him in order that we might be forgiven, in order that He might provide salvation for all who would believe. That includes, first of all, the common man. He is the Savior of the common man. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field by night." These shepherds were common men, and God chose to come to them with the message of salvation. I want you to understand, these men were just like us in every way, emotionally. They were men who were worried. The Bible says in verse 9, they were sore afraid. The Greek words there, megaphobia. I mean, they were really scared. They were so afraid when they saw those angels there. They didn't know what to think. They were worried men. They were working men like us. They were men just going out and doing their best to provide perhaps for their families. They were in the fields working, and they were men who were very common men of that day. In fact, they were perhaps what we would see in history a little bit less than the common man. The fact is that according to Jewish laws, they would have been deemed unclean men ceremonially because of their working with these animals. They were unclean, and the Jewish Mishnah would have referred to them as being men who were under a ban, or men who were to be separate from Jewish society. They would have been considered a very low part of Jewish society, a very, very common indeed. In fact, the only people considered lower than the shepherds were the lepers. And so when God announces His arrival, He says to these men that there is hope for all of them, and hence there is hope for all of us. Because even though they were lowly, even though they were sinners, God came to them with the good news of His Son. And I'm simply saying this to you this morning because it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. God loves you, and Jesus came to save you. And it's not just for the select few, and it's not just for the perfect few, and it's not just for the religious few. It's for all who will believe that salvation has been made available. You see, the shepherds, though they were common people, nevertheless, God loved them. How many of you are thankful that God loves common people like us? Not just the select few, but all who will believe. I heard about a teacher who was talking to her class, and she called one of the girls over and she said, "Vicky, what did you and your mother do yesterday?" And she said, "Well, my mother done her shopping yesterday, ma'am." And the teacher said, "Vicky, done her shopping? Where's your grammar?" And Vicky said, "Well, she's with mom, too." And I don't know if the shepherds were like that, you know, just kind of common folks, working folks. I don't know exactly, but I know this: God loved them. And I don't know what your background is, and I don't know what your past may or may not be, but I know this: God loves you, and He sent a Savior for you. And He proves to us His love in the very Christmas story, with His Son being born in a stable, with the shepherds being the first to hear the news. And though the shepherds were looked upon oftentimes with disdain, and they were viewed as a lower part of society, yet God somehow, from the Old and the New Testaments, loved shepherds. And He reached out to them, and He spoke to them, and He spoke through them. Abel was the first shepherd, and Abraham had his flocks in the Ur of the Chaldee, and Isaac and Jacob had their flocks, and Moses was a shepherd before God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And David was the beloved shepherd of Israel. And Jesus Christ Himself in John chapter 10 is referred to as the good shepherd. And I simply say to you this morning that God loves you, and that He brought His message to the shepherds through a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all who realize they need a Savior can see that He loves us where we are. He came by way of the shepherds. He also, the Bible says, also loves all people. Notice in verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You see, Christianity is not just an American religion. Christianity is not just for a select few. Christianity is for all people. Jesus said in Luke 5:31, He said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus said, anybody who realizes they need salvation, I'm calling them. I have salvation for them. Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted as they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so Jesus is the Savior of the common man. He is the Savior of the seeking man as well. All who will seek him will find salvation. The Bible says in verse number 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The angel of the Lord says, if you'll seek him out in Bethlehem, you'll find that he's lying in a manger. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And you might be in this church house this morning wondering, is there a God? Does God love me? Is it possible to have a relationship with God? And the Bible promises that all who seek him can find him because he came down for you. The Son of Man, Luke 19:10, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He has come down for all the world to know the love of God. And whosoever will can be saved, you see. He's the Savior of the world. But the Bible says in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, but notice the next phrase, which is Christ the Lord. So Jesus is the Savior, but Jesus, secondly, is the Christ. He is referred to as the Savior, the Deliverer. He is referred to as the Christ. The word Christ is a Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah or Anointed One. Jesus is referred to as the promised one of Israel, the anointed one, the one that Israel had looked to for their deliverance, the Messiah, the Son of God. Acts 2 and 36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God the Father has deemed, has stated that His Son is Lord, His Son is Christ, the Anointed One. And so I want you to recognize Jesus, according to the Scriptures, is the Savior. According to the Scriptures, is the Christ. Now notice this word Christ. And notice that He is announced as such, first of all, by the angels. He is announced as Christ by the angels. Verse 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, the angels in Scripture are ministering spirits or the messengers of God. Many times special ministry is given by the angels. Often special messages are given by the angels. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6 says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Hebrews 1 and 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So the angels were ministering spirits. They were messengers of God. But there seems to be realms and ranks of these angels. We have learned that Gabriel was an angel uniquely used of God to come to Mary, to come to the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias. We have heard of Michael, the other named angel in the Bible. But this angel is unique that we're reading about in these verses today. It is referred to in verse number 9. He is referred to as the angel of the Lord. On very special occasions in the Bible, the angel of the Lord will make an appearance. The angel of the Lord would give a special visible appearance. And I believe that often these can be referred to as a Christophany or the appearance of the pre-incarnate Lord himself. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember that He is the Word, the eternal Word. And in the Old Testament, we see these Christophanies on numerous occasions. For example, in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And so it was that Jesus Christ, in the pre-incarnate stage, referring to himself here as the captain of the Lord's host, made appearance to Joshua. So it is in this moment in Luke chapter 2 that while Jesus Christ is in the manger, he, as the all-knowing, all-present God, he who is omnipresent, is not only in Bethlehem's manger, but is also declaring his presence as the angel of the Lord with the heavenly host accompanying him to these shepherds. Now we see in the scriptures that Gabriel came to Mary, but it was the angel of the Lord that came to Joseph and that came to the shepherds. Notice in Matthew 1:20 it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And so the angel of the Lord has the brightness of the glory of God upon him and is coming to announce the wonderful news that will divide human history and the news that will bring salvation to all. Jesus is Christ, and it is announced by the angels and specifically by the angel of the Lord. But notice also this Christ is adored by the heavenly hosts. Adored by the heavenly host. Now pick it up with me in verse 13. The Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here we see and here we hear from the multitude of the heavenly host. This was one of the greatest events in human history. Perhaps tens of thousands of angels are now praising God and glorifying God as the Son of God has been born in Bethlehem. And they cry out, "Glory to God in the highest," giving God glory for what He is now providing. The word glory is the word doxa, which means majesty to God, giving majesty and glory to God for the great thing that He had done on behalf of mankind. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 and verse 6, "And let all the angels of God worship Him." And that's what they're doing. They're worshiping God. They're singing praise to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You see, the angels understood that peace with God was possible when we were reconciled to God. And the way of reconciliation has now been forever provided for the Jew and for the Gentile in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace could be known. It does not matter then what's happening in your life. It does not matter where you live or what's going on. What matters is, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? If you do, then there is peace available for you. Look in your notes at Colossians 1:19. Colossians 1:19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell," speaking of Jesus, "and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." We have seen this past week from California to Connecticut. The devil attempts to rob peace, and the devil is a destroyer, and he is a thief, just like Jesus said. But the angels cry aloud and bring glory to God, and they say, peace can still be attained by men who find reconciliation through this one who has come, who find peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace on earth towards all men was their message in verse 14. And as they gave this cry, they said, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They knew that that would be available through the person and the ministry and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so who is Jesus? Jesus is the Savior of the world. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Promised One, the One whom the angels tell us will bring peace to all who find reconciliation through Him with God, the Heavenly Father. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. But notice what else it says in verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ." And what do the last two words say? Say it again. The Lord. He is Savior. He is Christ. He is the Lord. The word here is kurios. It means a title of honor. It means master. One to whom we respect, to whom we give reverence, and to whom we give deference. This is a title given to God, given to the Messiah. He is Lord. And I want to say today, He is Lord whether He is recognized as Lord in your life or not. Whether your friends see Him as Lord or not. Whether He is worshipped as Lord or not. Jesus is Lord. I want you to realize many today hate that message and they hate the Christmas message. One group of atheists in New York City in Times Square took out an ad this past week. And this ad, sponsored by the atheist group, says on the top, "Keep the Mary, dump the myth." And the myth is referenced to in the crucifix, or in the crucifixion rather, of Jesus Christ being on the cross. And the message of the atheist is, be merry, go out and get blasted, get drunk, party, whatever you want. But this thing of Jesus, they say, is a myth. He is not Savior. He is not Christ. He is not Lord. It's a fairy tale, something like Santa Claus. And somebody gave an offering of $25,000 to their God. Their God is the God of self. Their God is the God of Satan. Somebody paid $25,000 to get the message out that Jesus is a myth. But I've got to remind this world and remind us today of this simple fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether He's recognized as Lord or not. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we believe His Lordship for many reasons. We believe His Lordship because of fulfilled Bible prophecy. Over 350 prophecies in the Old Testament predicted the first coming of Jesus Christ. The way He would come, how He would come, when He would come, prophesied. The first promise concerning the coming of Christ was given all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It is prophesied that the seed of the woman, that seed could only come of the Holy Ghost, for the woman does not produce seed. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan. Oh, Satan bruised the heel of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. But when Jesus rose up on the third day, He bruised the head of Satan. It was prophesied in the book of Genesis that Jesus Christ would be Lord. It was prophesied that He would come from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49 in verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between His feet, until Shiloh, or Jesus, come. And unto Him shall be the gatherings of the people be. It was prophesied that He would be born of the virgin. It was prophesied that He would be of the house of David. You see, we believe Jesus is Lord because of the fulfillment of prophecy concerning Jesus Christ coming as King and coming as Lord. We believe that Jesus is Lord because of recorded history. The history of even this book of Luke records for us in great exacting detail. And while the atheists will worship their own versions of history and their own classic works of literature, they tend to deny completely the Bible, even as a book of history. Oh, the Bible is much more than that. It is an inspired, infallible record of God. But the Bible is a great book of history as well. And I remind you of that this morning. It has been scrutinized. It has been scrutinized, even this book of Luke, by the so-called higher critics, by the students of history and by the students of ancient literature. One of the men who early on studied this book of Luke from a historical standpoint was a man named Sir William Ramsay. He did one of the most extensive studies of Acts and Luke that was ever undertaken. He studied it against various different studies and the books of the day and the texts that had been archaeologically found and discovered from the first century. And Ramsay said, Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, he is possessed of the true historic sense. In short, this author should be placed along with the very greatest of historians. You see, the book we're reading this morning gives us names. It gives us specific places. It gives us specific accounts of history. And it helps us to understand how God became man and dwelt among us. And the miracles that He did and the works that He accomplished are all recorded here in the book of Luke. It is recorded in this book that God came to this earth by way of the virgin birth, and that God became flesh and dwelt among us. That these two natures came together, the dual nature, the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Henry Morris wrote concerning this fact, the only way in which these two conflicting requirements could be met was by a miraculous conception and virgin birth, the requirements of deity and humanity. His human experience must begin, as for all men, with conception, but the embryonic form so generated could have no genetic connection with either mother or father, both of whose heredities were contaminated both by biological defects and inherent sin. The promised seed of the woman could only come by special creation. The seed is always of the man under normal conditions. Yet he must also be of the seed of David and therefore begin his human life through a mother descended from David's line. You see, the fact is that there is a great amount of fulfilled prophecy pointing to Jesus as Lord. There is a great recorded history in Gospel of Luke and in the other Gospels pointing to Jesus as Lord. But may I give you thirdly, the testimony of the Scriptures remind us that Jesus is Lord. Psalm 89 and verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Romans chapter 1 and verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The atheist can mock. The atheist can support their cause. They can place their billboards. But mark it down, my friend. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His tomb is empty today. He is alive at the right hand of God. And we worship Him as Savior. And we worship Him as Christ. And we worship Him as our Lord this morning. C.S. Lewis said of Jesus, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that some say about Him. Some say I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept His claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sorts of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. And every man today must make the choice. Jesus Christ is either the Son of God, God in the flesh, come down to provide salvation for us, or the greatest imposter that ever lived. And I believe today that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the old rugged cross for my sin. He shed the blood that is still speaking out forgiveness today. He rose again on the third day. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we ought to worship Him today, not as a religious figurine. We ought to worship Him today, not as the myth that some say He is, but as He is in truth, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He is Christ. He is Savior. He is Lord. Now, if He's your Savior, and if He's your Lord, what should our response be to Him? What should one's response be to this Savior, Christ, Lord? Well, let's look back at the shepherds as we close, and let's learn from these common men. I want you to see in verse 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. The first response to the Lord is that we should seek the Lord. The shepherds, upon hearing the news and hearing the choirs pronounce, hearing thousands of angelic hosts pronouncing that the Son of the Highest was born, they immediately sought the Lord. Some commentators said this was the first Christmas rush. I mean, they wanted to see the Lord. And they said, let us make haste and let us get to Bethlehem. Psalm 105 says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And my friend, if you believe that Jesus is Savior and Lord, then I want to encourage you this month, seek His face. Come before Him. Even as we heard on the news a few weeks ago at so-called Black Friday, of men and women who were standing at the door of Walmart and rushing into Walmart. And people here in Palmdale who slept on the steps of Best Buy in order to get in and get a television or a free promotional item. Even as people have been rushing to grab their material possession, there ought to be some Christians who believe that He is your Savior, Christ, and Lord, who are rushing to His feet and rushing to His house and rushing to His Word and saying, I want to know Him more. I want to get closer to Him. I want to seek His face. And here we see the shepherds were seeking the Lord. Notice secondly, they were adoring the Lord. They were adoring the Lord. Look at that in verse 15. It says they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I can't really even ponder what they must have felt that morning. It's hard to comprehend as they left the filthy fields of the Bethlehem's surroundings and came into the presence of the Savior Christ and King, the Lord Jesus. And yet the Bible says they saw Him there. Verse 19 says that Mary adored Him as well. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds adoring Him. Mary adoring Him, keeping these things, pondering them, bringing it all together in her mind, meditating on it. Let me tell you something. Meditation is not something that is real unique with the Eastern religions or the New Age religions. The fact of the matter is what counts is not whether you meditate. What counts is what or who are you meditating upon. And what we see here is that Mary was meditating as she saw the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. She was meditating. She was getting all of her thoughts together in her mind and in her heart. And the shepherds were there. And I want to challenge you this week and next that you would carve out some time on your calendar and get alone with God and consider who Jesus is and consider that if He is the Son of God and that He came down and died for you, consider what love is this. Consider what condescension is this. Consider the majesty of it. And ponder it all in your heart and let it stir your heart once again. Some of you that have been saved 10 or 15 or 20 years who can get a little crusty and a little cranky and sometimes not as grateful as we ought to be and sometimes we just kind of take it all for granted. Listen, we need to come back to the manger and adore Him this month and let it be real in our heart like it was when you first got saved. Seek Him and adore Him. Think of Mary looking at her little child. Deity wrapped in humanity. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Pondering this in her heart. The miracle of miracles. And God had given to her the privilege of being a part of the wonderful miracle that Christmas. Listen, I believe from the shepherds we can learn to seek the Lord. To adore the Lord. Thirdly, if you believe He's your Lord, you ought to witness for the Lord. We ought to witness about the Lord. Oh, listen, there'll be a lot of people today talking about their own football game, their football team, who's going to win this game, who's going to win that game. And a lot of people talking about work, a lot of people talking about this or that. Where are the people who talk about the Lord? Verse 17, the Bible says these words, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They made known abroad. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Listen, when you meet Jesus as Savior, Christ, and Lord, it changes you forever. I mean, there's stuff you might talk about. There's things you might want to attain in life. But there's nothing as important as knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Psalm 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Andrew, the Bible says in the Gospels, found his brother Simon, and he said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And when you find the Christ, you're going to want to tell your brother about Him. Amen. You're going to want to tell your father about Him. Amen. You'll want somebody else to know Jesus Christ. Amen. As Savior. Have you ever led someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are you a soul winner? Every day of the world, there's tracts in our lobby there with the gospel printed clearly. You know, this week, some of you will probably wind up getting to a store. A lot of you men have been putting that off, I know. But this week, you'll probably wind up getting to a store somewhere. My wife said those words to me last night. She said, honey, there's just a few more things I need to get. I need you to go with me this week to a store. And I looked at her like, are you kidding me? How about the dentist instead? The store? And then she gave me that look like, don't you go there. And only a wife can give you that look. You know, like, now just do it. We'll just do what I'm telling you here. And you know, we're going to go to the store probably sometime this week. Now, I might push it off till next Sunday night after church, you know, or maybe next Monday night after the Christmas Eve service. But I'll probably be at the store within the next week. We live in a funny world. We live in a world that now it's okay to marry two guys, according to their standard, together, and smoke marijuana. But we can't say Merry Christmas. We live in an upside down world, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find you go to these stores, a lot of times after you make your purchase, they'll say, "Happy holidays. Have a nice holiday." I'd like to encourage you who say that Jesus is your Lord to get some of those gospel tracts out of the back. Put them in your pocket. When you go to Walmart, when you go wherever you go shopping, when you go to the mall and someone says to you, "Happy holidays," put a big smile on your face, pull out a gospel tract and say, "Merry Christmas. Let me give you something that'll tell you about Jesus Christ and what Christmas is really all about." Don't let your feeling of how people perceive you, don't let that be your Lord. Don't be a self-made Lord. If Jesus is your Lord, be like the shepherds who made known abroad everywhere they went. They said, "You will not believe what we've seen or who we've met. His name is Jesus. He is Christ. He is Savior. He is Lord. We saw Him with our own eyes." And if you are saved, tell somebody about Jesus Christ this week. Let them know what Jesus means to you. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, we shall be witnesses. Seek the Lord. Adore the Lord. Witness for the Lord. Let me say fourthly, praise the Lord. Amen. Notice what it says in verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Do you see that in verse 20? Let's read that together. Shall we? Ready to begin. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Praise the Lord. You ever meet some Christians and you look at them and say, "Hey, how you doing?" "Fine." "How's everything going?" "Okay." "Well, are you saved?" "Yeah." You ought to tell your face about it. You ever meet somebody like that? Hey, folks, if He's your Savior, Christ, and Lord, you got something to praise about. There's something to praise God. The psalmist said, "In God will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust." Psalm 57:7. "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." I mean, those shepherds, when they left that site, they were glorifying and praising God for all that He had done and thankful to God for the great things that they had seen. You know, and in Christ, we have reason to praise. In the darkest times, in the most difficult times, there's still a reason to praise. Amen. Last Sunday night, Terry and I had some folks over to our home that had been through some hardships the last few months. We had Brother Ken and Joyce Jones, longtime members of our church, whose daughter was killed a few weeks ago in Michigan in a car accident. Went home to be with the Lord. We had Karen Escobar. I think Karen might be in here somewhere today. And her husband, Enrique, was killed in the car accident with several of the young couples on the activity last month. We had Oliver Cavadalis, and we had the Landaverde family as well. All of them involved in a terrible car accident. You know what was amazing to my wife and I as we sat down together after those couples left our home, and we shared some scripture and we shared some prayer time before we had refreshment, but as we listened to those families, Brother Jones said, I just want to praise the Lord that at our daughter's funeral there were people that accepted Jesus as their Savior. I just want to praise the Lord for that." Karen, a 28-year-old widow, she said, "I just want to praise the Lord for my husband's salvation and for the way we got saved together as young people. And I'm just so thankful to God for His grace." The Landaverde said to my wife, they said, "You know, we used to say we're not real involved because we're, you know, kind of like new Christians. Well, we're not new anymore. God's given us this experience and He has a reason and a purpose for our lives." And though they came into the house with walkers and titanium plates in their bodies, yet they were praising the Lord. Oliver said to me, he said, "Pastor, I can't wait till they take the wires out of my jaw so I can witness for Jesus." He said, I can't talk very much, but I want to witness for Jesus. And I just am so thankful to the Lord that I can do that. You see, there's a lot of things that this world can rob from you. There's a lot of things the devil will throw at you. But if you know Jesus as your Savior, as Christ, and as Lord, there's still plenty to praise the Lord for. The shepherds praised the Lord for all that he had done. Phillips Brooks said, "In this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in." I don't know your past. I don't know what's been going on in your life. But I know who Jesus is. He's Savior, Christ, and Lord. And he wants to enter into your life. If you've never received him as Savior, I want to encourage you to do that today. If he is your Savior, I want to encourage you today to follow him as Lord. Seek him, adore him, witness for him, praise him. He alone is worthy of that praise. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank you this morning that you have so graciously provided a way of salvation through Christ our Lord. And I pray this morning that as we consider all that you've done for us, that we would not leave this place in haste without applying the truth of Scripture even now. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to respond appropriately, I pray.